204 DGS. I'm just saying one more thing about the Hunter Biden thing. It's kind of what I said before, but I'm just watching it roll out on television, and they're talking to multiple jurors, and they're all saying the same thing. They're all saying, we thought this was a waste of time. We don't think he should go to jail, but he was clearly guilty. Like, they put on the evidence, they gave us the jury instructions, we read the jury instructions, and he was good for it. It's just heartening to me, a relief to me, to just see something in our world, especially in our judicial system, which I used to be a part of, play out normally. Someone did a thing, they were charged for a crime, it went to trial, the jury deliberated, they found them guilty, the defendant accepted it and will appeal, and we all go about our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it feels like it's been so long since that has happened, that something happened in a normal way. Things just don't happen in a normal way anymore. And that's one of the things I hate the most, you know?
I'm with you.
Do you feel like because I just don't feel like the Democrats are like going to bat for Hunter Biden on this one. I don't think anybody really cares. Yeah, and they shouldn't. But do you think if there was this groundswell of like, no, we're going to stand behind Hunter, could you see him taking the ruling a different way?
No.
Because maybe sometimes, you know, like with Trump, former President Trump, he knows he has all these people backing him up if he wants to speak ill of the judge or the jury or the whole process.
I don't think so. I could be wrong. And I don't know. I mean, I know exactly as much about Hunter Biden as you guys do. And also, I'm not a newborn child. I'm sure that Joe Biden, while he means this, that, you know, hey, as a father, this is bad. But as a president, I have no opinion and I will respect the jury's verdict. But it's also, he's doing that on purpose.
Sure,
because
yeah,
it's a great way
he's drawing
to
a contrast.
Juxtapose himself against Donald Trump, but everything's rigged and everyone's against him and they're a Trump hater and so forth. So it's a strategy, but it's one that works with me.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, even if it wasn't a strategy, that's what we should all want to hear.
Yeah, I would just like to get back to boring.
Yeah.
I would really like to get back to boring. It's one thing to laugh about boat batteries and sharks and which is going to kill you first, but I really, really, it was fun for a while, but I miss normal. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I don't know that we're ever going back to normal.
Mm. Normal might be just a different normal.
And isn't it weird, too, that we went through the whole, I view Me Too different than the canceling. I felt like the Me Too stuff was very different than you said something you shouldn't have said
10 years ago or whatever.
That kind of stuff. But it seems that now it's the opposite of canceling. That if you want to make it big, just say something horribly outrageous or racist or really mean and you're going to make it. Well, you know, I'm thinking of like McAfee and people like that. Like those guys, the bros are being rewarded on a daily basis for being as bad as they can be.
There's a particular audience that's made that very clear. And it is sort of, I think.
And it's a powerful one.
Yeah. It's the younger conservative audience that has made very clear. If you use language like that, doesn't really matter anything else about you. We will embrace you just on that facet.
Do you think the left has any culpability when it comes to like their reaction to you know, whenever this Valentina or whatever her name is, she's like, that's weak and gay. And we're all like, can you believe, oh my goodness, who would say something like that? It's like, well, that's feeding into the whole process.
Because
too.
There was the overreaction to things that weren't that big of a deal.
Right.
Like the big reaction to a big deal is merited, warranted, justified, all of it. But the big reaction to something that's not that big of a deal is part of what fueled the pushback.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's a group of us. I used to be very sure it was a majority. Now I'm not so sure, but I think it still probably is, that are in the stands watching two teams go at it. I'm not on the field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm clearly not a Trump person. I'm also not a Biden person. I've only voted for one Democrat in the last 20 years because I couldn't stand the Republican who was running against him because he did my show and he was a dink. So, yeah, I mean, my voting record is pretty stellar for conservatives, although conservatives hate me. But, yeah, I just feel like I'm in the stands. Like, I'm just watching this match go on, and I'm just looking to the person next to me like, can you believe this? What the hell's going on with this?
I'm the person next to you.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I don't believe this, Dave.
And I'm tired of watching the game.
Yeah, we need a new game.
Everything runs thin.
Yeah.
I will say I had some hope recently when Marjorie Taylor Greene was doing something. I guess she was speaking out against Mike Johnson, and she was grandstanding.
Yeah.
And, like, all these Republicans are tired
Turn
of
their
her.
Backs.
Yeah, yeah, they're just like, well, she's crazy. Stop listening to her. That was quite refreshing to see that
Same
happen.
Thing kind of happened in the state house here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The problem is we only acknowledge the annoying person as annoying when they're annoying us. Right? Like, if they just finally are like, okay, enough. Because it's been going on for years. That should have been the approach from day one. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to be that, we have no time for you. I don't care if you're on the squad or if you're MTG. It doesn't matter. If you're going to be that, then we just don't want
you. You know what
will
be fascinating is the election after this one.
Mm.
When both of
new
these
names.
New names. New names, new people. That'll be really interesting to see. Does MAGA keep the energy going? Do they just kind of fall by the wayside? Did Reagan Republicanism come back? Is it something brand new? What do the Democrats, are they smart enough to seize on this and run to the middle? Are they going to keep, you know, going super progressive? They always seem to do what's wrong for them. Both sides, in my opinion.
Lately, anyway.
Yeah.
Not for a long time, but lately for sure.
Yeah. Stairway?
All right. So, there's some similar themes that are going to cross over on this, and then there's a little funnier part that Andrew and I got into today during the office, but there's a new Star Wars series that just came out called The Acolyte, right? As with anything related to any big universe, whether it's Marvel or Star Wars or the Lord of the Rings stuff, the fanboys are they're review bombing on every site. They're destroying this show. I watched two episodes. So far, I'm all right, we'll see. Like, the story's interesting. There's a cool thing in the background going on that I want to hear more about. The acting's not all that great at times. Other characters are fine. But people are review bombing this show because basically it's too diverse. They're just everybody. And it's a weird thing to me to be that way about a show set in an alien galaxy with all kinds of different alien species and people from all different worlds. Like, I would think that in that galaxy, that's what it would be, right? It would be like not a lot of one kind of people. But people are mad about those types of things, and they're just review bombing the show. It's not, if you see like the Rotten Tomatoes, the critics' reviews are like 91% positive. And then the reviewers, the humans, it's like 30%. It's like, okay, something's not matching up here. And it's because some people are just intentionally going out and giving it ones and zeros because it's making them mad. Some of it's political. Some of it is just fanboys being fanboys. And that group, both of those groups bother me. But specifically the fanboy groups where nothing will ever be good enough for them in that universe. There's nothing that could be created. And as Andrew and I were talking about, because we're both into this kind of universe, it's always been stupid. Like, Star Wars has always had holes in the plot. They've always had stupid contradictions.
Yeah, if you're just now mad at Star Wars.
Right. And this is like we were talking about episodes 4, 5, and 6 come out in the 70s, and none of the timelines make any sense. Like, as Andrew pointed out, right? Like, the Jedi were gone for 20 years by the time we get to episode 4. Just 20 years. And they were acting like they've been gone for centuries. That's a legend. Like, that
tell me
never
this
happened.
Jedi stuff is real?
Yeah.
they're like, Jedis don't even exist.
Right.
That's an old legend. And it was like 20 years ago.
Yeah. And the old.
It's like the same as Mitt Romney.
Right.
Yeah. I said it'd be like if we were like the Seattle Supersonics aren't
real.
Yeah,
they had never existed. That wasn't a thing.
Like, it was 20 years ago.
But like, so you're based off of imperfection. Let's not focus on every imperfection on everything that follows. And people have done this with the new Amazon show on Lord of the Rings. They're doing it with every Marvel thing that comes out. It's always that same thing. But you forget that it was flawed to begin with. It was just not flawed to you because you were young and it was new to you and it was magic. And it's not magic to you anymore. But somebody made a really good point about this current show, The Acolyte, that these, unlike times in the past, a lot of the movies and shows that are being made for the world, for a worldwide audience because of streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just made for us anymore, where everything used to just be made for the American audience.
But this is for us.
Right. It was an American audience. It was always made that way. And these shows are not made for that now because there's more money in appealing to the whole world than appealing to the diehard fandom of any particular franchise.
Do you think pulling out to the 30,000-foot view, overall, we've all gotten so mean and reactionary because we couldn't before because of civility and courtesy and professionalism. And if you were screaming and yelling about something, people thought you were crazy.
Yeah.
But then when the internet and social media, and then it became you could do it, but you had to hide. And then it was you could do it and you don't even have to hide.
Yeah.
Then it was you can do it and don't hide because you can get really popular and make a lot of money off this.
Yeah.
You just wonder when, again, going back to my initial point at the top of the hour, when, because we get tired of everything. That's one thing about humans. Just count to 10.
Wait for time. Yeah.
You're going to get sick. You'll get sick of your partner. You'll get sick of your job. You'll get sick of yourself. I'm just wondering when we're going to get sick of being mean.
I don't know. Maybe it'll be a cycle.
Or if it ever can return. Because let's face it, you're not just... I don't think anyone's born being civil, right?
Mm.
You have to learn to be civil. You have to have someone teach you how to act like a proper person and a
how
grown
to play
up.
Nice. I mean, kids would be naturally selfish, right? They don't want to share their toys or whatever.
And so if we're not going to teach a generation this, they're not going to do it.
Yeah, the only hope is that, like you're saying, they get sick of it. Because as we go through right now, and this is the exact same conversation with the Caitlin Clark story. Why are people doing the things they're doing? Because engagement makes them money, and anger leads to engagement. Emotion leads to engagement, and the easiest emotion to elicit is anger.
And
it's easy to piss people off.
Think about it, Wheels. We're old enough to remember when the news was boring.
Yeah.
But that didn't sell.
Right.
But you couldn't just go out there and scream.
No.
And then you could, and you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so now if you scream, you get popular and you get money.
Yeah. And so the only way it changes is if the regular people just stop tuning into it.
Yeah.
Stop engaging with it. And right now we're not at that point. But I could see that happening because at some point in the past, we wouldn't have engaged with what we do now.
Right.
So maybe, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, those younger groups, they grow up and they're like, man, this is so stupid. Why does it? Because everybody kind of pushes back against
my mom and dad really wasted their time with all that hatred online.
Right.
I'm not going to do that.
A lot of generational change is pushing back against the generations that came before you. So maybe future generations will look at this and go, yeah, we don't want that.
You also wonder if, people getting on the internet for the first... I mean, all of us are really on the internet for the first time. It hasn't been around for so long.
Yeah.
But it's like there's that disconnect of I'm not really doing it. I'm not really being this mean and nasty person. I'm just doing it online. It's not me. So, I've dealt with trolls before where it's like, I don't really know. I've tried to understand, where they're coming from. And they're coming from a complicated place. I just don't really know what's going on there. I think people, justify, it's just online. It's not a big deal. But with the rise of AI, and we're all going to soon, I would think, have these glasses that it's like the internet is all around you all the time. You wonder when that becomes more integrated, if it's like, okay, I want to stop acting like a complete jerk to everyone because this is my real life now.
Mm-hmm. It's just interesting. And so many people enter, especially in entertainment, they enter a story like this expecting it to suck. So when anything isn't perfect, they're going to go, right, see, I knew it. And that's going to end up being where the direction goes. And I enter a show like this going, I wonder if it's going to be good or if it's going to suck. And I want to find out. And right now, I don't know. I've only seen two episodes. I don't know. It could be good. It could be not good.
Yeah, see, that's a separator to me, again, is Nick and I will watch a show. And then we'll text each other and it'll be like, eh. And not for me or whatever.
Right.
I feel no need to take that to the world.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing compels me to grab a laptop and tell the world what I think of The Acolyte. You guys heard about the new controversial Chick-fil-A summer camp?
No.
So this is for kids aged 5 to 12. It's in Louisiana. It's all Chick-fil-A, sponsored and ran. And they go to camp. $35 a day is what they charge the parents. And they get trained to work at a Chick-fil-A. So they learn customer service skills, dining room hosting. They learn how to take a guest order at the register. They learn how to bag a guest order. They tour the kitchen. They learn how to prepare chicken nuggets. Big fun for the kids. And they get to work at a little pretend Chick-fil-A. And people are losing it, saying it's a direct violation of child labor laws. You're grooming children.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Don't you?
I do. Yeah, I think that that's not good. I think that you shouldn't send your kids to learn how to work at Chick-fil-A camp, and I think it should be illegal for Chick-fil-A to hold a camp where you teach kids.
Well, why would that be? I mean, are they actually doing work, or are they just doing
stuff? No, but
stuff
the point
for,
is
well,
they
that's
are
not
being,
labor, then.
They are being taught. No, it's not labor. It's not a violation of labor laws, necessarily.
Okay.
But I do think it is incredibly wrong and immoral to send kids to a summer camp where you just become indoctrinated to work at Chick-fil-A.
What if they were going to work on a farm? Is that any different?
I think it might be worse if you're going to work on a farm.
You don't
that's
think
actual...
like a kid would want to be
but
out on
the
farm?
Kids do that. My kid did that.
Okay.
When she was older, she chose to go to a farm out in California, and she was going to spend the summer there. She only spent a month because it was not
all right,
much fun.
That's still labor. That's still you're having the kids work for the benefit of
the
farmer.
Is it an... But is it a real functioning Chick-fil-A or it's just a camp?
No, that's
camp.
Why I'm saying the farm thing is probably worse because
but
that's probably
it,
doing
benefit kind of the
for
same as
farmer.
Being in like the student UN or something like that? Where you're going and
so.
you're pretending?
I don't think so. It's different between
or like
learning.
The Magic House where you have a grocery store.
That's different because it's for an afternoon. It's not a work. They you go like, look, it's a grocery store. You can pretend to stand behind the counter and go beep beep boop. That's a little bit different than being like, we're going to teach you how to make chicken nuggets, Chick-fil-A
chicken
nuggets.
What if it does the opposite and says, makes you realize, I don't want to work at a fast food place?
That makes no difference to me.
Yeah, like if Snooks had a day camp where kids could go and learn to bag groceries and
I think that's wrong.
Stock shelves.
I mean, I do think it's weird to send your kids to a fast food camp. I mean, that's a little
granted.
Weird. Don't get me wrong. I mean, like, I'm on Team Andrew when it comes to the weirdness of it. I just don't know that it's
harmful. I just don't
harmful.
Get why you think it's morally wrong.
I think that, I mean...
Because, like, is it morally wrong to buy... Like, little kids love to do what their parents are doing, so a lot of times it'll be like, here's a toy mop or a toy vacuum. Like, is that morally wrong to let them pretend to work at home?
No, I don't think that is. I think if it was supervised by the mop company and you were sending them off to mop camp to learn how to mop,
I think
that's a little different. I mean, I'll say I have the same problem with this that I have that with child actors, even. I'm not a big fan of child actors. I think that kids shouldn't work. I think that kids should be allowed to be children. I think it's pretty rare that a child actor situation turns out well and golden for the child. And I think that this is sort of an evolution of that. I don't think you should, as a kid, I don't think you should be indoctrinated to work at Chick-fil-A.
I just don't think it's indoctrinated. I would assume that most of the kid, the vast
don't end
majority,
up at Chick-fil-A.
Or they're like, I want to go to the Chick-fil-A camp because I love Chick-fil-A. Like, I highly doubt it's like, oh, I don't want to go make nuggets today.
Oh, I'm sure the kids love it. I just think it's wrong.
How do we feel? I mean, like, because I'm interested in all of the different, like, levels of this. Because if we're saying, well, is the difference, like, for child actors, is the difference whether or not you're getting paid versus paying to go to a dance camp or go to a baseball camp where you are doing a thing and you're being paid? In this case, you're paying to do it. But if it's what you're good at and it's what you love, if you love acting or singing, what's wrong with
chicken nuggets?
What's wrong with getting paid to do it versus paying to do it?
Playing baseball, dancing, singing, I think these things have passionate applications.
You just described
outside
my life.
Of, hold on now. We're almost out of time. I think those things have passionate applications outside of and that can be a hobby, right?
Right.
You can
so
just
can
be
acting,
somebody
right?
who loves singing. Whereas the Chick-fil-A camp, you're just learning how to work at Chick-fil-A. There's no enrichment.
Well, you're learning about business
and teamwork.
I think that that's a
and
big
responsibility.
I think that that's a big stretch.
Plus,
because
who's
going to
make our chicken in the next generation?
Because what you're actually learning is how to work at Chick-fil-A.
Good. Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 236. We have a caller on the Chick-fil-A controversy. Barbara bringing some sanity to it. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I love listening to you all. And I never call, but I just felt compelled. I just feel like the world's kind of upside down. What could possibly be wrong with kids working at a Chick-fil-A camp? Have you ever gone through a Chick-fil-A drive-through or in the store? Oh, my gosh. The kids look you in the eye. They know how to speak. They're pleasant. They know how to make change. And my experience with Chick-fil-A, I don't work for them. I don't know anybody that works for them. So this is an unpaid opinion. They do so much in the community. I'm sure they make the camp fun. I'm kind of kicking myself that I've not read about it to be really up to speed. But I'm sure they're not making them work at Chick-fil-A. The skills that they learn can be translated into anything they do in life. I mean, we're in an epidemic of kids staying home and playing video games and doing nothing. What could possibly be wrong with a Chick-fil-A camp? I just think it would be great for kids if it's something they want to do.
Thanks, Barbara. I'm Team Barbara on this one. I respect that you're looking out for kids and child labor. I know that's your passion. Like, my mom and dad enrolled me in farm camp, and it turned out to be Lush Farms. I worked there for 7 years, so I kind of got hoo-heed on that one. No, I agree with Barbara that I think not only is it fine, I don't think they're being indoctrinated. I don't think it's not like the Army pays for you to go to medical school, then you owe them 8 years kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think you could learn something about the world.
Sounds like Barbara went to Chick-fil-A camp herself. I think that it's kind of a stretch. I really do to say that kids will learn all these magical business and
not magical. Don't put words in her mouth.
I shouldn't. You're right. I shouldn't. We'll learn all these incredible interpersonal skills and the ability to run business and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's all being framed to you through the lens of working at Chick-fil-A. I don't know why everyone is assuming that this is a completely magnanimous.
Oh, you mean these evil people could want you to come work for their company one day?
Gentle and kind. Well, that's what I'm saying. There's exactly nothing wrong with that. I think there is. I think that it's wrong to ship your kids off to a camp where they're going to try
to teach you how to
work.
Rachel just saying at Lewis and Clark, you guys had radio camp or radio day where kids came and pretended to work at a radio station. Would you have a problem with that?
No, because that's a one-day thing. No one.
This is a one-day thing.
No one's paying for it. I don't think it's not.
Yeah, no one's spending the night at Chick-fil-A camp.
It's not a sleepaway camp.
Yeah,
well, that's even.
You're not having your first French kiss like over the fryer.
That's even worse. Then it's completely pointless. Kids aren't going to learn interpersonal skills and how to run a business through one day at Chick-fil-A camp.
I disagree.
Do they get to eat Chick-fil-A?
Yes, they do.
Because if they get to eat Chick-fil-A, that's worth it for the day.
Here's a person.
That's all that it is. It's just the kids going to eat Chick-fil-A.
Do you have another thought?
I was just going to say, like, Barbara did touch on the whole, like, I mean, I'm not going to say they're going to learn how to run a business, but everyone learns in their first job, especially if it's customer service facing or just having those interactions with people. You learn how to speak to adults. You learn how to connect with people. I mean, I get what she's saying there for sure.
I think that's true.
The things I could have done had I gone to Chick-fil-A camp.
But I think what you're all missing is that it's not as easily.
I
just don't think it's as easily translatable into all these. It's not a blanket skill that you can.
No, no, no one's saying you're going to go be a CEO after one day at Chick-fil-A camp.
I don't think of the experience as like exploitative and evil. I'm just like, I think they would probably have fun doing that for a day.
Agreed. This person could have used Chick-fil-A camp. A server was fired for posting a TikTok of a guy who is on a date, non-ironically, with a blow-up doll. Happened in North Carolina. The woman, whose name was Tara, was working at a, quote, upscale restaurant and over Memorial Day weekend when she saw a man being seated at a table with a blow-up doll. They made sure it wasn't a joke and the guy wasn't filming it and it wasn't to create contact for him. His girlfriend's a blow-up doll. And she posted a picture she couldn't resist and got fired.
Well, you know, that's the risk you take when you take pictures of people in public, even if they are hanging out with a blow-up doll, you know?
You guys are at Capitol Grill and having a nice night. It's date night. And a guy gets seated with a blow-up doll. What do you do besides snicker?
I'm taking a picture. I don't know if I'm posting it. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking.
Oh, for sure.
I am thinking. I don't know if I want to put this on Twitter because of the reasons we're talking about. I'm putting it on Twitter.
Like it's a valid lifestyle choice and somebody
Not even that. It's just more like I don't want to put my job on the line.
Mm-hmm. I'm putting it on Twitter.
I don't want to be in trouble because it comes across.
Not worth it. Right.
Right.
I'm putting it on Twitter, but I'm making sure that the guy's face is not in it because I'm not trying to like mess this guy's life up.
That's fair.
Although he's
in public.
You're right.
He's on a date with a blow-up doll.
There is no expectation of privacy in public. Mm-hmm. So that is number one. If you go out in public dressed weird or, you know, with a blow-up doll or whatever, or acting weird, you do not have any expectation of privacy in a public place.
I also think he shouldn't be seated at a nice restaurant.
But I'm more worried about how it would like.
I'm kind of with you on that.
If you bring in a blow-up doll, look, I'm not trying to be gross. There's one reason a blow-up doll exists. So there's one thing you do with that. Well, that's my point.
You take it to dinner.
Go on dates.
It should be. I love these two.
Yeah, maybe he didn't know until she got there. Like, holy hell.
He drove up to pick her up, and he's like, oh, I wasn't expecting this.
She was so charming online.
You kind of misrepresented yourself in the photo.
40% of people say that they are absolutely cool with wearing their pajamas in the hotel common area.
Wait. Say that again.
40% of people say they're totally cool with wearing their pajamas in the hotel common areas.
Yeah, it depends on the pajamas, right? Because some of them look just like sweats and
stuff. Well, a lot of pajamas are indecent. Like, if we're being real, who wears like a cute pajama set to bed? No, you're probably wearing like your rattiest old. Probably. She probably looks very cute whenever she's
dolled
up. She gets all dolled up.
He's not showing her off if she's dressed in rags. I mean, come on.
But this is what you're wearing to Capitol Grill.
Your pajamas.
If you're wearing your real pajamas out in the common area, I think you're a Hoosier.
Where do you draw the line? Is it body part showing?
Yes.
Like revealing?
Yeah, revealing and just like.
So if someone's in like big Ward Cleaver, 5-year-old pajamas, but they're grown up, you may think they're sort of weird or a loser, but you're okay.
I guess, yeah.
Some people wear them in public in general.
Some people wear them to church.
Right.
Yeah. It could be like long thermal pants, like, you know, fuzzy pants with Cookie Monster on them and then a hoodie over that.
I've seen people wear the Cookie Monster kind of fuzzy pants to church.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's pretty disrespectful. I mean, I get that the whole thing is like, just show up as you are. God loves you. That's true, but you can show a little more respect than the Cookie Monster pants.
Sesame Street Church.
It's Corn on the Cob Day.
What?
Oh,
Andrew, how do you know this?
Really strong reaction to that.
Andrew loves corn. I mean,
corn on the cob is actually one of my less favorite types of corn. Oh, I do like corn on the cob, but straight up corn on the cob, you got to dress it up a little bit. See, I've recently been introduced in the last handful of years to street corn, right? And street corn is, I mean, that's the homie right there. That's the jam. And so I can't really get into.
Not sure you can say that, but okay.
Straight up corn on the cob anymore. You know what I mean? I'm not. I can't just do.
Not now that you've had street corn.
Isn't street corn just street corn. Corn cut off the cob with like cheese mixed in?
No, it's got mayo and some like Mexican seasonings and stuff.
And a lot
like
of times it's served on the cob.
Yeah.
Still.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Let me tell you, this is something that I've only seen people do in South Texas, but it's how we did it every time. First of all, I begged to get the little corn cob holders.
Oh, Dave, me too.
Whew, man, I wanted those so bad.
That's for rich people. But...
And we got them.
We had those. The corn shaped like a corn, we still have them.
But when you butter your corn, what you do is you butter your bread, and then you put your corn cob in the buttered bread.
Yeah.
And then you waka, 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 waka. And then
it
butters. Yeah, you spin it around and it butters the whole cob. And you have delicious corn-flavored bread afterwards.
That's smart. That's cool.
Yeah, never done it, but...
Thank you.
Interesting.
Seems like a good idea.
Interesting.
Try that with your street corn, Mr. Chick-fil-A.
It'd simply be far too messy.
Remember the corn kid? It's cone.
It's cone.
A big lump with knobs.
Pizza rolls were created in the 1960s by a cook working for a Chinese food company who was searching for new uses for their egg roll machine. It was originally a Geno's company. I'm old enough to remember that when it was Geno's pizza rolls.
Yeah.
And then Totino's. Oh, that's Tostino's.
No, it's Totino's.
Okay.
I think you're right.
I thought maybe I had like a Mandela moment. And they were rebranded Totino's Pizza Rolls. That's nice. The history of those.
Very cool.
Pizza rolls are good.
A man almost killed his fiance the day before their wedding with this dumb mattress moving mistake. So the couple from Utah was moving her into his place. He had his mattress in the back of a pickup. And he said, hey, honey, why don't you lay on it to weight it down? And so then they got out on the highway. And, of course, physics took over and started bouncing. And it bounced her out of the truck. She hit the ground. She got road rash all over her. And it knocked out her two front teeth.
Oh. Poor thing.
How can you be so stupid as to think that's a good idea?
Still married him.
Wow.
That guy didn't go to Chick-fil-A camp.
Mm-mm.
I saw
people need to learn physics more in school.
He would have learned the necessary skills in physics at Chick-fil-A camp.
Yeah, geez.
I saw someone riding in the bed of the truck of a truck down 44 the other day, and I was just like, "What's going on here?"
It's used to be the only way.
The 70s and 80s, baby. Everybody,
if you're going across town, but like going like 70 miles per hour,
and you would call the wheel well,
wheel well, because you can sit on it.
So, Rach, what is a summer Friday?
Okay, so a summer Friday is when a company just kind of gives up and says, okay, on Fridays, you guys can leave at 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. instead of staying all the way till 5. And me being bitter because I'm...
Because you can't?
I can't. I'm like, this shall not stand. You shouldn't be allowed to do this. But I mean, good for the people who...
Yeah.
Get to cut out early and stuff.
In this business, summer Fridays are taken regardless. Even in the winter.
There are days when I show up and I'm like, is today a federal holiday? And no one told me because there is no one at work. I don't understand how exactly that works out.
I used to do that when I was a young lawyer and we didn't have, access to the internet because it didn't exist. We would have to go to law libraries. And anytime someone left at 2 p.m. to go to the law library, they were going to be drunk by 3. So
going to the library, guys.
Head to the library. You got court in St. Charles County. All right.
Oh, my God.
And Gen Z, speaking of.
Oh, my gosh. So I don't understand how this can be, but I've seen this story in several places now. 26% of Gen Z, so all of these Gen Z kids that were surveyed, said that 26% of them bring their parents to job interviews.
I don't care how great the kid is. I'm not hiring anyone that brings their mom or dad to an interview.
No, like in the interview?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Sometimes it's like, oh, I'll wait out in the
lobby
for you. But they're there. Sometimes it's like it's over Zoom and the parents just off camera. Sometimes it's you're coming in the room with me for the job interview, which I think would be absolutely insane.
Heck? What? Cut the cord, people.
Especially because
I blame the parents more, by the way.
I do, too.
Like, tell your kid, no, you're an adult. You do this.
Well, that's the thing. It's not Gen Alpha going in for their first, summertime job.
It's not the 10-year-olds going for the acting jobs that Andrew's worried about.
They're not going to Chick-fil-A camp. No, these are adults bringing their adult parents with them. I just think that's a little ridiculous.
The cord.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about the Cold Stone Creamery lady?
No.
Oh, you're going to get mad at this one.
Oh, okay.
I think you will. The lady went to Cold Stone Creamery and got some pistachio ice cream.
Uh-huh.
Then it turns out that there are no real pistachios in it, only pistachio flavoring, so she's filed a class action suit.
Oh.
I hate these people.
Did it taste like pistachio?
Yes.
Then.
I saw her picture. She looks like she's just itching to sue somebody for something.
The
look on her face was like,
it's very shamey of you.
It is quite shamey of me. I will admit to it. And I realize I'm saying this on the radio and lots of people can hear me, but I'm just saying when you see her, you're like, oh, okay.
Like, she likes pistachio ice cream, does she?
She just looks like she's mad and she's like, I'm going to get them for this malfeasance.
You know who I'm mad at? I'm ready to sue. I'm mad at the, your whole body stinks. And so now deodorant is not good enough.
All over deodorant. Those commercials are so gross. They're like, I stink in other places other than just my armpits. It's like, wow,
and
thanks.
Like,
yeah.
Like, we know what you're talking about.
We know what you're implying, and no thank you.
You know, how many generations of humans have lived without it?
Yep.
Right.
So why now?
I think it's just there's an opening for it. I think Lumi was the first one,
That's
advertising all the time, but now all the deodorant companies are jumping on the bandwagon. I read like a Vice article about it recently, just like, why is this popping up? And they seem to think it was just
a new need.
They've discovered an opening in the market, so now they're going to convince everyone that they stink.
Is what they did. So it's like nobody does this.
A $14 ding ding man item.
Yeah, this happened in New York. People went out to get their kids waffle cones, and this guy ordered two and handed the ding ding man a 20, and they're like, no, we need more money than this. They're $14 each for a vanilla waffle cone with sprinkles.
Jeez.
This economy, man.
Did you guys see? Yes, it's almost the exact same note. Did you see the video of the young British girl who was going to the ding ding man, and she is so livid at how expensive it is.
I have seen that.
That is the funniest video I've ever seen. And then she's like yelling at her mom, and she's like, and I bet he can hear me. She was mad.
What was your order at the man of ding?
I don't know if I've ever been to an ice cream truck. They didn't
Zimmerman.
They didn't have them in Grafton, and I lived out in the country anyway.
Right.
The ice cream truck sometimes comes down my street now that I live in the big city and I'm an adult, but I've never gone out there.
Stop him.
Does he take cards? I mean, I just rarely have cash.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if they're charging $14 for items, they got to take cards.
Yeah, we were like, the Bomb Pop was always a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the one that had the gumball in it?
I keep hearing about this one. I'm the only thing I know that had a gumball was the snow cone that was hard as concrete. It would take.
Oh, it was called a screwball. No, the screwballs, those were good. Because it had a little gumball on the bottom. It was a cone, and it was like almost like an icy rather than ice cream. And then when you get to the bottom, you get a gumball.
That's the screwball? Or what I'm saying is the screwball?
No, this is what I was saying.
The screwball sounds like it's a cocktail, and the children are just like boozing it up.